Hello friends, Merry Christmas from Odessa, Ukraine. Welcome to the special Christmas episode of Now is the Time. My name is Caleb Succo, and today I'm going to be reading for you a Christmas poem that I wrote. And this poem interweaves the text from John chapter 1:1-14. So I start with the text, and then I interweave it with poetry and explanation and exposition of that text. So let's get started. In the beginning was the Word, Logos, absolute truth, perfect goodness, the creative intelligence of the universe, Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, El Shaddai. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The all-knowing, ever-present, completely able, never tiring, perfectly caring, absolutely pure, never faltering or failing or forgetting, always, always, always faithful God. He was with God in the beginning because He was God, with no beginning and no ending, eternally existing, the Father of time, the ruler of the ages, author of millennia and milliseconds. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. When His mouth opened, galaxies rushed into place. Uncounted billions upon trillions of stars exploded into brilliant existence. He didn't break a sweat. When His tongue moved, trees burst through the soil. Redwoods, cedars, sequoias, entire forests waving their branches together in a symphony orchestrated by the master composer. When His vocal cords vibrated, the seas rippled with dolphins and orcas, swordfish and sharks. From the grand scale of the blue whale to the innate intricacies of the seahorse. When His lips came together, the condor's magnificent pinions unfolded and swept Him away on currents of warm air, and the delicate wings of the hummingbird began to whir. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. When the Word breathed out, life came in. Life surged through Adam's soul. It coursed through his veins. All life, physical and spiritual, comes from Him, is found in Him, and is sustained by Him. Over the course of 75 years, the human heart will beat 2.5 billion times. And not one beat happens without His power or permission. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The creative life force of the Word emanates with brilliance. No man, no technology, no army, no theology, no legislation, no group of people, no nation can snuff it out, trample it down, or choke it off. But they will try. Not realizing that the light they seek to destroy fills their lungs with life and sustains them every day. And so, God's plan to save and rescue man began at the darkest hour before the dawn. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not King John, not politician John, or movie star John, not famous John, or rich John, or powerful John, just John, ordinary John, with an extraordinary task, to prepare hearts to hear the Word, to receive the Word, to give people their spiritual sight. He came as a witness to the light, so that through him all might believe in the light of that word. The life-giving, light-shining, heart-transforming word. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. A truth bearer, a light carrier. His message was clear. The King is coming. The Messiah is near. Prepare your heart. Repent and believe. He pointed the people to him, the cure for their pain and sin. The true light that gives life to everyone was coming into the world. The unimaginable grandeur of the unlimited, unrestrained, undying, uncreated Word, stooping, bowing, descending into man's created world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Too many were too busy, carried away with the concerns of tomorrow, what to eat and what to wear and how to pay the bills. No, they wouldn't mind a savior, one who could feed them and clothe them and pay the bills. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Too many, too concerned with religious functions, too many, too comfortable with their powerful positions, too few who could see through the man-made superstitions, too busy justifying their behavior, they saw no need for a savior. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. No hoops to jump through, no red tape to navigate, no behavioral code to live up to, no prescribed prayers or perfunctory performances to impress man, just believe. Not belief for belief's sake, but belief in the truth of the Word. Belief that sin is your greatest problem. Belief that man is hopelessly fallen. Belief in the unique message and person of Jesus. Belief in the life infused of forgiveness. Found exclusively and extraordinarily in the Word. True belief in the true Word, real faith in the real God, complete trust in the completed work of Jesus will always produce children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. We have all been born into a world of pain, a world of passing pleasures, a world of momentary gain, a world of temporary treasures, a world soiled by sin's deadly stain, a world that applies band-aids to our cancer, a world that can hardly cope, a world that does not have the answer, a world without hope. Born of God changes everything. A new birth, a new life, a new family, a new hope. God was born of man so that we could be born of God. The Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. How could it be? The Creator God becoming part of His creation? Willingly limiting His power through the incarnation? He even came as a child, fully dependent upon his mother, and his life wouldn't be easy. He was born to suffer. Our finite minds struggle to span the gap. How could God be born in a stable out back? We might not comprehend the depths of his plan. We might fail to completely understand, but believe it, we will. Because there's truth in this story, and for those who believe, we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. When Jesus came, it was in a special way. Not at all like we celebrate Christmas today. There were no jingle bells or deck the halls, no mistletoe or wreaths hanging the walls, no gingerbread houses with candy roofs, no flying sleighs or reindeer hooves, no trees decked out with tinsel and light, no stockings hung over the fire at night, no festive sweaters made by Aunt Pam, no eating of turkey and especially no ham. No fat man with a white beard and black boots, no little people with pointy ears and green suits, no gizmos or gadgets to bring Christmas cheer, no shopping malls filled with new Christmas gear. You see, the first Christmas came without all the hype. It was altogether a different type. It came simply, in a quiet way, to a poor couple on a winter day, surrounded by donkeys and camels and sheep. Two young parents watched their baby sleep. They knew he was something special, but just couldn't see how this small child, a king, could be. The greatest miracle the world had known took place in a stable, not on a throne. Jesus didn't need stocking stuffers or soft new flannel covers. He came bearing the greatest gifts that ever could be. He brought the grace to forgive sins and the truth to set us free. He came to bring real life and light, to give hope to the dying and make broken hearts right. He came to suffer and die on a tree, the ultimate sacrifice for you and me. And now, one question rings through the night. What will you do with Jesus, who is the Word and the Light? There are ever only two options to weigh. You can ignore him and continue to live for today and hope that you've made it and been good enough, but never knowing for sure if you did all the right stuff. Or believe the words that Jesus said when he came to earth, our sins to forgive. I am the resurrection and the life. The person who believes in me, even though he dies, will live. Dear friends, the Word became flesh when God became a man. It was all a part of his divine plan. God's gift to us on Christmas, the hope of eternal life, and the offer of forgiveness. Friends, I hope you enjoyed this reading of my poem. And more importantly, I hope that this Christmas, your faith is firmly placed in the only one who has the power to forgive your sins and give you eternal life, Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. Thank you.